Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 98 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit their online gallery at saatchiart.com. So today I'm talking to a woman who makes pencils do pretty amazing things. My pencil has never been able to do what Nettie Wakefield's pencil does. Now, she's based in London, but I just found out that she's been in LA for the last little while, so we were able to chat in the same time zone. We had a few technical difficulties with a very bad Wi-Fi connection, so the occasional syllable might drop off. Also, a few secrets ended up being shared, so I cut out names and details to hide the identity of those involved. No, this is not an episode of Serial, but you know, a tiny art secret never hurt. Okay, let's do this, shall we? Calling Nettie in Los Angeles. Hi, Nettie.
Hi.
Okay, first thing I need to know, is Nettie your real name? Because it's an awesome name, and I've always wondered if that's what your parents named you when you were born.
No, it is not my real name. My real name is Stephanie. It makes no sense whatsoever at all. And nobody really knows the truth about where it came from. My mum said that I made it up, and my dad said that my brother made it up. But the point is that neither of us could talk properly, and we said Nettie instead of Stephanie, and then that became my name.
And then it just stuck.
And then it just stuck.
I love that. I love, because like your website is Nettie. Like I love that. That's just your name now.
I was never Stephanie. Like even at school, I was Nettie on the register. It's really weird.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. What do your parents think of that? They plan to have a Stephanie.
I don't know. You know, I've never asked them, but it could have been worse. It could, like, people have really embarrassing nicknames.
That's true. Like,
it could have been like Fuzzy. Or...
Well, I was just going to say, I had a babysitter when I was little. I think her name was Catherine or something. But she was born with like blonde hair. And so everyone called her Chicky because she looked like a baby chick. And she babysat me when she was probably 18, and everyone just called her Chicky. Like, nobody yeah. knew her real name. So you could be Chicky, so at least you're not Chicky.
I could be Chicky Wakefield.
Yes, you could. So, Nettie, way, way better. You're in a much better position. Okay, good. I had to ask that. The other thing I have to ask is that I know that you're from London because I've written about you before, but you're in L.A. right now. Why are you in L.A.?
Yeah. I am in LA because I did a show earlier on in the year in January, and I've sort of been coming back and forth pretty much last year and this year the whole time because I've kind of wanted to branch out here a bit.
Oh.
So between in London.
And so yeah. Do you think you'll come back to LA? Is that the hope and plan?
Yeah, I've got a solo show coming up. And I've got a group show at Subliminal Projects around the fall, which is Shepherd Ferry's gallery.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
In Echo Park, yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Wow. Yeah. So are you a convert now? Are you like an LA girl? You're a California girl now?
No.
No.
I kind of like to dip in and then go back, you know.
That's actually it's a good combo. It's a really good combo. I love LA, but I've never been there for longer than, you know, a week or a week and a half at a time. But so you've been there for 3 months straight and you go back this week.
Tomorrow.
Wow. What's the first thing you're going to eat when you're there?
Either shepherd's pie with peas or a Sunday roast or a chicken casserole. I haven't thought about this, you can tell.
Yeah. Oh, yum. I love all that stuff, too. The Canadian in me, you know, we have a lot of the Yorkshire pudding and all that good stuff that we got from you guys. So, okay. So what I always do in my podcast is I like to hear the story about little Stephanie / Nettie when she was a kid. And if you were artsy and like drawing things then, too, or when did that kick in?
Yeah, I always drew stuff. I used to draw cartoons and stuff, weird. Like Simpson characters.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah. I saw some pretty weird things as well. Like, I took a permanent marker to my bedroom and drew a bunch of mermaids gagged, which is a bit dark.
How old were you?
when we were like 12, and my mom had to use spray paint to cover it all up.
Oh my God.
Yep.
So much. I guess she wasn't into the artistic interpretation at that stage.
She's a psychotherapist.
Oh my God.
We often talk about that.
Oh, that's good. Just spray paint over it and move on.
Yeah, yeah. Paint the problems away.
And so, well, you're so just, and you're, well, do you call yourself a drawer?
Yeah. I don't know. I call, yeah, an artist.
I know. Yeah, it's funny because I interviewed Jay Dart, who's a Canadian, and he draws, and he refers to himself as a drawist, which I thought was quite funny. Yeah, I thought that was kind of a nice little term. And so when you were, did you think that you would go to art school? Is that sort of what your destiny would be as you were drawing gagged mermaids?
Yes, I did. And then I went to Chelsea Art School and I dropped out after a month.
Really? Why?
I guess I was expecting something a little different. It was quite cramped and people were sort of shaving their heads and sticking it to the wall, and I didn't really understand it at that point. So I left and I thought I'd go and do a history of art degree. So I went and studied history of art for 3 years. And then I thought I might just work in a gallery. And then I went to a couple of job interviews to work in galleries and found it really sad because I didn't want to be on that side of it. So then I did a master's at Wimbledon College of Art in drawing.
Oh,
after that.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. Oh, that's so smart. I wish I had, I felt the exact same way when I started art school. I was just like, this is not what I thought. And I loved art history, but I only minored in it. I should have just completely switched. And so was it always when you did the master's, was it just drawing from the get-go?
It was more like conversations about drawing than doing actual drawings. It was like, what is drawing? Is drawing a dance? Is drawing a man? I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So there actually wasn't that much drawing, which is strange. That's how schools are in London.
Oh, I think that's how they are everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, well, then when did you draw? Were you just drawing on your own then and then going to school and talking about it?
Kind of. No, we had to come up with some projects, and that's why I started the reverse portraits during my master's in a lecture.
Oh.
I just started drawing the person in front of me. And then started selling them during my master's.
Wow.
And then it sort of became a thing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Why the backs of heads? I thought, is it because she loves hair? Or is it because, I don't know why.
I do love hair, but it didn't come from a love of hair. it was more, there was this girl sitting in front of me and I couldn't see her face. And I was sort of left imagining who she was, and I thought that the mystery of it was quite interesting, and to not know is probably better than knowing, because then you're satisfied.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. Yeah. Well, it's a lot like I do collage and I cut the heads off of people a lot, and people,
yeah,
you know, and it's just like, it's not because I don't like their faces, but it's just like, I don't want them to have that assumed personality or whatever. When you're removed, when you can't see their face, then who knows who they are?
Yeah.
So I totally get it.
It helps the viewer to put in a little bit of work as well, because you're not giving them everything. They fill in the gaps.
Yeah. So were you showing those during your master's?
We had some, we did a little show at the National Gallery.
Wow.
Which was amazing. And then I did a group show at the Rook and Raven Gallery in the summer with some of those drawings. And then I put a piece into the Gerwood Drawing Prize as well, all during that year. And I did a charity auction with Christie's to support the Old Vic Theatre in London.
Wow, that's amazing. And so when was this? When did you do your master's?
2013 to 2014.
That's what I was thinking, because I thought I didn't think it was that long ago, because when I wrote about you the first time, I'm not even sure when that was, but I think you were probably just finished your master's around then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how do you love hair now? Because you sure do a good job drawing it.
I do love hair.
So it's, do you purpose, yeah. Like when you, so now there's nobody sitting in front of you in class anymore. So do you go looking for, is it friends? Is it strangers? Do you photograph? Like, where did all of your reverse portraits come from?
Well, I don't really do them anymore. I do them on commission only.
Okay.
But when I started doing them, it was always strangers. Because mainly on like escalators or on the tube or something.
And would you take a photograph or would you just like take a mental screenshot?
Sometimes I would, and definitely a photograph. I would ask them, and sometimes I would sneak one. but to, like doing my friends, it kind of felt a little contrived, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're just, so you're not doing them anymore. I did not know that. We got to come back to them in a minute though, because I have questions about Mickey Mouse ears and the Queen and things like that. So what are you doing now?
Well, funnily enough, I am doing some reverse portraits at the moment. I'm doing one for Shepherd Fairey's Gallery, one for the new Soho House opening in New York, and one for the Disney hat one that I think you were just referring to.
Yeah.
Is for an art fair in a couple of weeks in New York.
Wow. Do they take you forever?
No. I mean, it depends on the size, but I work relatively fast.
I can't even imagine. They're just so, so stunning. And I love on Instagram how you show your the progress. It's just like I just stare at them and I'm like, I can't even draw a stick man, so it just blows my mind. So are you, you're doing a few of them, but are you, I know there's a blow-up doll on your site. I saw that. Is that what you're moving on to?
Yeah, well, I finished that in November. That's partly why I've been spending so much time here, is last year I did a group show with some goldsmith students, and the theme was expiry date, and so I did these two drawings of the deflated blow up doll for that, and then I just kind of wanted to take it a little bit further, and I thought it would be amazing to cast a half deflated blow up doll in polished bronze. So
you're right, it would be amazing. I know, I saw all that, I was just like, oh my word, I have to talk to her, because I wanted to have you on anyway. Because I've loved your reverse portraits for so long. And then I saw that and I was like, okay, not just a drawist. There's a lot going on over there. And so was that what you were, so was that part of the January till now thing, or was that something else?
No, that was January till now. I've just been doing commissions and doing meetings and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I did that show with Art Below, who do... they go, it's mainly a thing in London, but they use advertising space as art space. So in the tube or on in the subway here, they use advertising space and they put everyone's artwork in Union Station. So I had a painting there for a while.
Oh, I wish I was just there. I wish I'd known that. I would have gone looking. That's so cool. Well. So do they all, is that an ongoing thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay, I do a great big post when I put up the episode, so I'll put a link to that so people can go and poke around and see. Okay, so let's talk about Mickey Mouse ears.
Okay.
I love them because it's just so pop culture-y and weird. But then, so is that a Disneyland thing or a Dismaland thing?
It's a Dismaland thing.
How did that come about?
Well, that's actually kind of a strange story. I was in a bar and I started talking to this guy and I was showing him my artwork, and I didn't know it at the time, but he was mates with Banksy, and he showed Banksy my work, and he said, hey, wouldn't it be cool to get her at this thing that I'm doing and like make a little stand like the people in Piccadilly Circus who do really shitty portraits of people, except it's not of their face, it's like the back of their head. And I didn't know what it was. He was like, hey, my friend's doing a show. I can't tell you anything about it, but it's like next year. And I was like, do you want to be in it? And I was like, okay, sure. And I didn't know it was Dismaland until the day before.
Wow. And so then you were on site there doing it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is.
It was sort of like an installation. People got a little confused because they thought that I was drawing like the punters, the people that came to the park, but obviously they take a longer time, just like an hour. So I brought a model with me and I would just draw it there in front of everybody. And the Mickey Mouse ears and the party hats were just to sort of be a bit funny and make the connection between Disneyland and Dismaland.
Were you kind of pinching yourself through that?
Yeah. It was pretty surreal.
So I take it you didn't meet Banksy. Are you ever allowed to meet Banksy?
No.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. That's one for the history books.
Yeah.
So amazing. Moral of the story, everyone, show guys at the bar your portfolio.
Exactly.
Oh my God. And so is that how the Shepherd Fairy connection came about?
No. A friend of mine over here emailed him my work. I was just having meetings with a few galleries, getting in touch with people, and he was just one of the people who replied.
Oh my gosh. This is so crazy for somebody that, you know, you ended up dropping out of art school, going to do art history. Like, what a, like, cool detour that's led you back to what you actually wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so do you have a day job or are you full-time making art now?
No, I don't. I used to.
What was your day job?
I was doing like really rubbish stuff like hostessing.
Oh no.
You know, this way please. But at really boring events.
Oh. Well, that's a motivator to try and become a full-time artist.
Mhm. Yeah. I've been just full-time I think for 3 years now.
Wow, that's pretty good considering, yeah, your master's ended not that long before that. And so is it mainly through commissions then, or are you showing at galleries and commissions? Like, is it a combo of things then that made it possible? Yeah, mainly commissions.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, did the Queen ask you to do, I have a weird obsession with Queen Elizabeth. I don't know. I think I always joke that because she's on our money too. Yeah, you know, like maybe it's because I see her every day. I don't know. But there's a reverse portrait of the Queen. Yeah. Did you just do that on your own or did Liz ask for that one?
She didn't ask me. Earlier the same art below, the people that do the thing on the tubes and stuff, they did a show to celebrate her 90th birthday.
Oh.
And so loads of artists contributed stuff that was Queen related and we did a show. I actually took loads of images from Google and then like photoshopped it all together to make it look like the back of her head. So I took the crown from somewhere else. It was quite difficult.
I'm sure because no, she's not usually photographed that way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I just saw it as I was looking, because normally I'm obsessed with all of your hair and the little, I think the first one I ever saw had the one with two little buns on either side, parted down the middle with two buns. And I used to wear my hair like that all the time. And so when I saw that, I was instantly like, oh. And so anyway, I was just flipping through before I called and I was like, the Queen. So, you know, I thought, who knows, maybe you were at another pub and showing Prince William your portfolio and, you know, the Queen wanted one.
Yeah, she was at the pub.
Yeah, right? You never know. She's got to get her her shepherd's pie too, I guess, somewhere.
Exactly.
So you're going home tomorrow. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, good. I miss my friends and my family, so it'd be nice to see them again.
Yeah. And so when you get back, will you, what are you going to be working on when you get back?
Well, I'm going, but I haven't done the piece for Soho House yet, so I'll do that.
And so if that's a reverse portrait, do they ask you what, like, do they tell you the back of whose head they want, or is it free for you to do whatever you like?
Yeah, it's usually themselves or a loved one. I usually take pictures.
Yeah.
But it, obviously, if they're on the other side of the world, then I'll just send examples.
Yeah, yeah. And how big are your pieces, the final ones?
Well, they range from A4 to A0.
Oh, holy cow.
Yeah. People mainly go for A2.
How many inches is that?
I've got a little table somewhere. It is 16 by 23.
That's still pretty big. Wow. I would love to see them in person. I've only ever seen them online. And I mean that, you know, I love them that way, but I can't imagine seeing them in person.
Well, if you're in New York in May.
Oh, okay. And what gallery is that?
It's Corey Halford Gallery.
Okay.
Have a booth at Context Art there.
Oh, nice. Are you going to go for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
I want to go to Freeze as well.
Oh, that's cool. I went to Miami for the first time last year and was blown away.
Oh, really? I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, it was so overwhelming because there's just so much. And every corner I turned, you know, I was just like, oh my God. And, you know, because I do all this stuff online, I so rarely get to see things in person. And so to see people that I'd written about before, but to actually be able to stand in front of it just was the best. So hopefully I can go back again. And so when you get back, so you're going to work on that, the Soho House thing. And then are there any more blow up dolls in your future, or what have you got going on?
So there's the two sculptures that I've made so far. And then I've done about 7 A1 drawings of the doll in different positions. And I will show those. I was going to show them this year, but I don't think I'm quite ready yet. I'm going to have a solo show probably in 2018.
Okay.
So.
And what did you think of, had you done sculpture before?
No.
And what did you think? No. Like, is it a new, like, obsession, or were you happy to go back to drawing?
It was mainly, I just really wanted to do that. I just really wanted to make a bronze deflated doll. It took a long time because casting something soft is impossible. So the challenge was making the material hard enough to cast in bronze. So tried out a lot of chemicals, which didn't work at all. Turns out that material is already quite strange material.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, figured it out eventually. It took 9 months to make the whole thing.
Wow. So do you think, will you keep going with sculpture?
Maybe.
Yeah. I love the idea of the combo, you know, of the sculpture piece, but then the drawings.
Yeah.
That is quite a departure.
I know. But the reverse portraits were the first project I ever really did.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Do you have, I don't know, a zillion ideas, or are you wanting to try a whole bunch of different things, or are you like, where do you, because you're, it's amazing the success you've had so far, and you're just really starting.
I can't really think further than what I'm doing at the moment, you know? Sometimes just things lead on to other things, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice way to live. You know, and I mean, you've got lots of deadlines and you've got lots of things to do. Sometimes, you probably never could have predicted bronze blow-up dolls.
No, definitely not.
So who knows what 2017, the end of 2017, 2018 will hold. So we kind of know what's coming up for you next because you've got all of these, you know, deadlines and things we were just talking about, but is there any super dream project that you'd want to do? I mean, you've kind of already, okay, we've got covered Banksy, we've covered Shepherd Fairy, the Queen is in there a little bit. Is there anything that, you know, is like your dream, like a city you'd want to show in, or, you know, artist you'd want to collaborate with?
It would be amazing to show my work at Freeze Art Fair eventually, or in a museum of some sort, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that is probably on its way.
Oh, fingers crossed.
What do your parents think now that you're, you know, doing this full-time art?
They were a little bit skeptical at the beginning, but I think they're all right with it now.
Is your brother artsy? Is he doing art stuff?
It's actually quite funny because my brother works for Disney.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And so did you do anything with Disney, or it was all Dismal Land, right?
Yeah, only Dismal Land.
And so what did he think?
He was quite upset.
Oh no.
No, he wasn't actually working for Disney at the time of Dismal Land. So
Okay, no conflict of interest. That is pretty funny, weird little overlap.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's not at all. He's completely different to me.
Yeah. As they so often busy. Are. It's so rare to have siblings that are so similar, you know?
Mm.
My sister's a lawyer. And my brother's a landscape architect, so we're all quite different. That's so funny. Well, good thing he wasn't there when you were doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for the not-so-speedy speed round?
Okay.
Okay. I call it that because I'm never very fast at it. The theory is that it's supposed to be fast, but I always ask more questions. So, okay, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Aha, I wondered, Londoner, if you would say coffee.
Depends what kind of day it is, because tea time, 4 p.m., that's definitely tea time. I definitely have a tea. At tea time, but I need coffee in the morning. It's essential.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I cannot function without it. What kind of tea do you drink in the afternoon?
Everything.
Oh, really?
Every different type of tea. Mainly peppermint tea. Sometimes normal, like, black tea with milk, but, like, not that often. Peppermint tea, chamomile tea, not really a green tea fan.
Yeah. I'm a peppermint kind of gal, but I thought my mom is hardcore black tea all the time. And you know those people. And so I wondered if that was like a tea time thing where it had to be black tea with milk.
Not for me. Okay. My mom needs at least 3 cups a day, religiously.
I know my mom too. She refers to it as a nice cup of tea. I'll just have a nice cup of tea. And then when they come to visit us, as soon as they get here, could I have a nice cup of tea? Sure, you can. Yeah, so it's always, and I am not a tea kind of gal, so happy to hear that you need coffee just as badly as I do. Okay, next one then, cake or pie? Pie being a sweet pie, not like a...
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, I knew. As I said that, I was like, oh, she's going to have questions about that.
I really do like apple pie, but cheesecake... is my favorite kind of cake.
That's pie-ish.
Well, apple pie?
Cheesecake.
Or cheesecake. Is it?
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's shaped like a pie. Okay, so now we've got you down to, well, you'd really have it all, I guess. But let's say you are doing coffee and cheesecake.
Okay.
This might catch you off guard too, just like my last question, but who would you want to have a coffee and cheesecake with? If you could have that with anybody in the world, dead or alive, artist, celebrity, whatever, who would you sit down for an afternoon and have that with?
You know what? I really want to see my mom.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, I was talking to her, and I really miss her. So right now, my mom.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, you only have, like, not even 48 hours to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, you could, well, you know, she's going to want her tea though, so you might have to have tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Oh, that's so nice. Okay, and then this one. If all of the pencils in the world suddenly disappeared, what material would you use instead?
I mean, why would anyone get rid of all the pencils in the world.
What if they did, though? Then would you? Then what would happen?
I would make a new pencil. I would go to pencil school.
Carve one out of some sort of charcoal.
I would go and cut a tree down and get some lead and shove it in there.
Are you a pencil junkie? Like, do you have like a crazy collection?
I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to pencils. So I don't like it when they get too small. So I've got like an entire cabinet full of half gone down pencils, like half sharpened pencils. I'm like, no, next. And I use those clicky ones, the mechanical ones, which I was always told not to use in art school.
You do use them?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Sometimes.
I use an 8B, always favor Castor ones because they're the best. An 8B, 2H, and the clicky pencils.
You are kind of a pencil snob.
I am.
It's okay. You should be. If you draw like that, you can totally be a pencil snob. I'm totally cool with that. Maybe that's your next sculpture, is all those little pencil nubs that are just in your closet thinking,
yeah,
what about me? I used to be so important to you.
I'm definitely going to do something with those pencils at one point.
Well, I was going to say, why are you saving them?
Because I haven't thought of the most amazing way to do something with them yet.
Yeah, but you can't throw them out.
No way.
No way. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Okay, I'll be watching because I bet that will something amazing will happen with those little guys.
Blow up doll, my little pencil.
Pardon?
A pencil blow up doll.
Yeah, there you go. That's all my questions. That was really fast. Well, I'm glad that the Wi-Fi hung on for us.
Me too.
Because I really thought that we were kind of done there at the beginning. But was that our third attempt or fourth attempt? Fourth.
Hard to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we made it happen. And it's short but sweet. And then this way we got it in and you can hop on a plane and go and hug your mom and get on with the next project.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time and battling LA traffic to get here to talk to me.
To struggle with the Wi-Fi for 3 hours.
I know. Oh my God. Well, there you go. It's worth it though. And the moral of the story for everybody is, yes, show your portfolio to everybody because you never ever know.
True.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
It was lovely meeting you.
You too. Bye. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm glad that we persevered.
Yeah, me too. There was one bit at the beginning. I think you thought I said, does he draw like me? But I said, is he a draftsman?
Oh, okay. I know, that was weird, and I knew that I didn't hear you properly, so I'm just going to cut that out.
Okay.
Because Jay will be like, what are you even talking about? So yeah, I will just chop that out. I thought Drost was a cool, have you ever heard anybody say that before?
No, but that is cool.
Yeah.
I did wonder, like, could I be a draftswoman? Because I wouldn't want to call myself like a draftsman.
No, you can be a draftswoman.
Yeah.
Did you take drafting in school?
Did I what?
No. Take drafting when you were in high school or anything?
Is that drawing?
Well, it was, because when I thought draftswoman, like, when we had drafting, it was like architectural rendering. It was super precise drawing.
I see. Oh, so maybe it means something different in...
Well, that's what I was thinking. I think that's why I was sort of like, because yeah, you are so detailed and Jay isn't, but I wondered if that was a thing because we had art class where we'd do our drawing, but then we had drafting and we had like, you know, those fancy tables that tip up on an angle and rulers and all this stuff, and I hated it. It was so controlled and, you know, there's so many rules, and I was like, you know what, this is not working for me at all.
Draftsmanship, you know, and he's a great draftsman, just means like good at drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that you are. I know I've said it a zillion times, but that hair of yours, my goodness, what does your hair look like?
It's really thick.
Is it long?
Yeah,
because I don't think I've ever seen a photo of you. Have you ever done a drawing of the back of your head?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I did. I've done a few actually. Because I did a solo show in London and then bought all of my work, but I'm not allowed to tell anyone that. It's really annoying.
What? Why aren't you allowed to tell anybody?
I don't know. So the guy that I showed the work to in the bar,
yeah,
also bought all of my A1 drawings that I'd shown in my first solo show. Yeah.
And did you, when you were chatting to this guy that like changed a lot of things in your life, was he just some random guy or were you introduced to him through somebody?
He's just some random guy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So were you fresh out of school when that happened?
Yeah, pretty much.
And what did, you must have just been like, I am amazing.
I was really shocked. I couldn't believe it. Because I also, he didn't tell me who it was either. So it was only once I'd sold them all to him that he's told me who it was.
Oh my God. So first of all, you must have been thrilled that you sold everything. And then secondly, you find out that little gem.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Because, you know, so many people get out of art school and it's the, you know, I've written books about like the whole inner critic thing and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, taking your work around and not being, you know, nobody wanting to show you. And then you've got all this crazy stuff happening. Like, yeah. You must not have had an inner critic issue.
I think at that point, I felt like I didn't have a choice. Like, if I didn't make this work, then, well, there was no other option.
Right.
So I just had to make that work.
Did you enjoy making it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to make it work for me. Like, I had to become, this had to be my job.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine doing anything else, really.
Yeah. I know I've asked some people, you know, like, oh, you know, in the speed round, like, if you weren't an artist, what would you be? And they're just like, dead? You know, like, I wouldn't know how to be anything else. And I just think that's such a cool answer, you know, and especially like the way that your schooling went and stuff. It's like, obviously, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You found your way to it in this sort of circular way.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see, like, what a way to start. I cannot even imagine what's ahead for you. And it's kind of good for you, like, just to live in the moment. That's smart.
Yeah, if I think about the future too much, it gets quite overwhelming. And also, you can never plan stuff.
No, you can't.
With this, because just things lead on to other things, and that might happen, but it might not. Like, you can, there's no point in trying to plan it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. And I've actually gotten to the point too with like my Jealous Curator stuff where, because I have a background in advertising. So pitching is like a big thing, right? You pitch ideas to people to do this and that. And I was so sick of it after being in advertising for so long that I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to let opportunities come to me. Like, I don't want to pitch people anymore. You know, I was just like, unless it's something I really, really, you know, if I have an idea that I really want to do, I'll, you know, put it forward to somebody. But I'm just like, you know what? As my mom used to always say when I was little, you just have to let the universe unfold as it should.
My mom always says, as one door closes, another door opens.
Oh my God. They could sit there saying these things, drinking tea together. They'd be so happy.
They'd be so happy.
Does your mom like cheesecake?
You know what? I don't think it's her favorite cake.
Oh. Is it more of an American thing?
Maybe our cheesecakes are different to your cheesecakes.
Oh, maybe.
Like, does it have a biscuity base?
Yeah. And then it's basically like cream cheese goo and then stuff on top.
And like strawberry.
Yeah.
My favorite one, do you know what Wagamama is? Have you been to Wagamama?
Yes, I have.
Have you had the white chocolate cheesecake?
No.
Oh my God. It's like white chocolate and ginger cheesecake.
Oh my God. At the one in London?
Yeah, it's so good.
Is there one in LA now?
No. I asked somebody yesterday and they were like, waka baka laka.
I lived in London one summer and worked in a pub. And that, yeah. Oh God. It was like in a very scary neighborhood on a corner somewhere. You know what? I don't even know what it was called. It was King something.
King's Cross?
No. I was in Elephant and Castle, and then it was like the pub was called like King Somebody's. And I think it was haunted. That was the story, that during World War II, every other building in that block had been bombed and just leveled, but this building hadn't been touched. And so the big story was that there was a little boy ghost. Just gave myself goosebumps, that lived in the basement. And so we'd have to go down there and get kegs and stuff. And I would just be terrified every time I went down there.
That is really scary. I used to work in a pub too, but I never changed a barrel because I never learned how to do it.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I don't know if I changed them, but they made me bring them up. There was like a dumb waiter down there that you, so I'd have to roll it onto the dumb waiter and then they'd pull it up. And I don't remember ever changing it. But the big thing, it was an Irish pub. And so the big thing was pouring the Guinness.
Yeah.
And the little Irishman would give me a really hard time if I couldn't put the little, shamrock in the top. By the end of the summer, this little Canadian girl, I was doing it all, and they loved me, but it took a while to break them before they would accept me. But it was a terrible neighborhood. I was basically told that two Irish women owned it, and they basically said, "Do not go out after about 5 or 6 p.m."
Oh God, it's really cool now though.
Is
Elephant and
it?
Castle, yeah. There's like a new gallery. There's loads of gallery. It's like up and coming.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, this was ages ago. This was like when I first finished my BFA. So this is like the summer of 96 or something like that. Yeah, 20 years ago. That's
Where did you
crazy.
go to art school?
Pardon?
Did you go to art school?
Yeah, I did. I have a BFA in painting and printmaking. And same thing, like my first year there, I was so pumped. I'd been the art kid growing up. I was ready to go. And I got there and there was like, the stars of the school were the ones that were like the year I graduated, the girl that was the superstar had kept her tampons for I don't know how long, and had them all in
Used.
and had them
Whoa.
all in vials and had them mounted on the wall for like she'd saved them for the whole year or something, and people were just like, "Bravo, bravo!" And I was just like, "I don't understand what's happening here." Like I just.
I feel the same. I also think I never had the balls to
Same.
stand by that and say, this is amazing. Do you know what I mean? And like be proud.
Yeah. How old were you when you were there?
19, 18,
Yeah.
yeah.
Same. Like, and that was the thing too, is that everybody else there was pretty much that age. And so if one person said something negative, everyone jumped on the negative bandwagon. And if one person said something good, everybody jumped on that because nobody was strong enough to say their actual opinion. And
Yeah.
so, and I just was like, this is horrible. And it was such a conceptual school. And I was like, I just wanted to learn how to do stuff. I think, which is why I love printmaking, because it was so like there were rules.
Yeah, I wanted to learn how to do stuff too. And
Yeah.
so I went to Charles Cecil in Florence in the summers where they actually taught you how to draw. And then I did courses at the Prince's Drawing School as well. Like that was
Wow.
amazing. It was like structured. You go to the National Gallery every single day and you draw the paintings and you talk about it rather than just like sort of talking about. I do get the conceptual stuff, but I was much more interested in like in doing it, you know.
Well, yeah, and especially at that age, like I think as you get older, like that's when I've already dated myself now by saying when I graduated, but like now I'm in my early 40s and it's like I finally have things to say, like I've lived enough, and like there's now I get the concept thing because there's things that I want to convey visually without being totally literal. So all good. But when I was like 18, 19 and hungover, it was just like I don't know what I'm doing here. Like I don't know. I should have dropped out and gone back later in hindsight, or like switched to art history. I loved art history so much. And well, you told me your secret, so I'll tell you the secret. But I just signed a new book deal, and I am writing about women artists and sort of in an art history contemporary, sort of the women of the past, present, and future. Because when I was in art history, there were no women in our books.
Yeah,
And
except do you know there's like two female impressionists?
yeah, Mary
Barbara,
Cassatt,
yeah.
yeah. yeah. And Frida, and then of course there's Frida Kahlo. Anybody else? Anybody? No? Okay. Yeah. And so I really wanted to do this because I remember thinking when I was an art student, especially when I was struggling being an art student, I thought, you know, I want to be a great artist one day. But I was like, who? There was nobody for me to look at to go, well, who came before me? You know, you kind of have to understand, like, the history of things. And I just remember feeling really, like, just floaty. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be aspiring to. And even if I work my ass off, I guess I'll never be in a history book, you know. And so it was just this really weird time. And so now that I'm in a position where I get to write books, I was like, I know what the next one is. You know, and I know there's starting to be a lot more women about, you know, books about women in art, which is great. But I just, I don't know. I have this personal passion around it. Oop. Did I just cut out?
Oh, sorry. I said that's amazing that you're doing that.
Thank you. I think so too.
And I love your Instagram.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Okay, now I'm doing a weird echoey thing. Okay, so I'm going to let you go. Go and pack. Safe travels. And I'm so happy we got to do this.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I was a little bit nervous, so if I come off a bit weird.
It was totally fine. I think I'm going to keep some of our end conversation in because that was cool and nice, and I will just, you know, cut out his name and my book deal information.
The secrets.
Yes, we'll cut out the secrets. But yeah, that, I mean, it's always so weird, especially like you're looking at a picture of my husband. Like, it's just so, we've never talked before. It's awkward, but it was so good. And I wanted your story. And now I have an excuse to write a giant post about you.
Yay.
Okay, well, safe travels and good luck, and keep me posted about everything that unfolds in front of you.
Definitely. Stay in touch.
Okay.
Send me your edited version so I can listen to it.
Okay, I will indeed.
That'll be great.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. See, that "are you still there" thing works every single time. Yes, there were a few secrets that we had to chop out, but that just makes this episode all that more exciting and mysterious. You're welcome. Thank you so much to Stephanie, for using her last day in LA to talk to me. Thank you so much to Saatchi Art for supporting this 98th episode, and big high fives to you for listening. Next week is episode 99, and I'm going to announce my plan for summer episodes. Yes, that's right, 15 summer episodes to get us through to season 2 in September, because it turns out none of us wanted Art for Your Ear to be over. Anyway, you know what comes next. Yep, there will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.